Historians often focus on the towering figures of an era and overlook the people standing beside them, people who are also key players in the events swirling around them, but are less well known. Ida May Pope was well known to her contemporaries in late 19th century Hawaii as the first principal of the Kamehameha School for Girls and a close friend of the monarchy, but she's little known today. She's not been the subject of a full-length biography until now, but Sandra Bonura is the author of Light in the Queen's Garden, and we spoke with her about Pope's unique vantage point during a historical period that changed Hawaii forever.
Ida May Pope was indeed an eyewitness to history. This little 5'5", stout, blue-eyed, blonde-haired little lady from Bucyrus, Ohio, came here to be a missionary teacher in 1890 when there was a king ruling the islands.
Mm-hmm.
She not only lived through that, she lived through his death. She went to his funeral with the girls she was teaching. She took him through the reign of Queen Liliuokalani, and she partnered with the queen for the education of these girls. And then, after the dethronement, she moved with these girls up to Kamehameha School. She was hand-selected by the queen and Charles Reed Bishop to begin the school for Native Hawaiians, and she has been historically ignored. So she knew everybody, but she preferred to be in the background.
How did she get to such a central place?
She was indomitable. And she didn't look like the other teachers that were coming here. She was the last wave. So she came here in 1890, you know, those Oberlin finished education teachers from Mount Holyoke were female seminaries. They were, you know, a little more manipulated by the white males in Honolulu. She came not a Congregationalist. She came as a Presbyterian from the Midwest. So mm-hmm. already that was different in tropical New England here.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't take guff from nobody. She says, excuse me, do you know how to teach? You need to keep your mouth shut. I know how to do this. Why are you doing these to these Hawaiian girls? Oh, my gosh. And she's just amazing to me. And when I found the letters and then wrote the first book, and she just jumped out as being so unique. And no wonder when the queen, one of her first actions was to go to Molokai to visit her people, to great criticism. Who did she take? Ida May Pope. When the queen went to Molokai. Mm-hmm. And hotly criticized in the press, by the way, because why are you taking healthy people to visit people who have, I'm using that word, leprosy, Hansen's disease today. And Ida May Pope was feisty enough to apply and get rejected by the Board of Health. She went right to the queen. So right away, she knew who to align herself with. And it was not to advance any of her agenda, but she didn't like what she saw at these boarding schools, Kauai House Seminary to be exact.
What was it she didn't like?
Well, there's, in my first book, American Girl in the Hawaiian Islands, they're like primary source on beating children. And people say, well, that's what they did in the 19th century. Teachers beat children. Well, not to this extent, because these were uneducated young teachers who really didn't know better. They were locking the girls in closets, withholding food as discipline. And she was like, there's got to be a better way. And it was all sort of condoned. You know, that's what horrifies me. It was condoned. Who was really looking? And the teachers were young and stressed out. And she began to elevate the girls as her own education had been elevated.
These were missionary schools you're talking about.
Missionary schools. By the way, it was one of the very first partnerships between the Hawaiian monarchy and the missionary community, because these weren't just mission schools, but they were subsidized by the Hawaiian government. And, of course, Queen Liliuokalani's Educational Society in 1886 made sure any woman in need, any young girl or young woman in need, would go for free. It was just amazing partnership that just all went awry when the dethronement happened.
The state of mind that you describe, the feistiness, the willingness to buck the accepted mm-hmm. wisdom, was not the way women were raised in America in the late 19th century, as a rule.
No,
right?
No, it was not. I mean, she really is a woman of her era as well. She knew where to tread softly. When she founded Kamehameha School for Girls, she made half of what the male teachers made, because Charles Reed Bishop said, women don't need to make any more money than that. What do you need that for? Aren't we giving you a place to lay your head at night on a pillow? You know, he just did not believe that she knew where to tread, how to tread, how to get what she wanted.
An iconoclast, if you will.
Yes. In her era, remember when you're in America, there was 1890, our country was headed for the biggest recession ever, the first one. Civil War had taken 620,000 men.
Mm-hmm.
There were no men to marry if you lived in Ohio. And the rest of them went out seeking their fortune in the West for gold. So these women of her era said, you know what, we can't. Susan B. Anthony was arrested for trying to vote for president. That's her era. But she was one of the lucky ones who went to Oberlin College, where your classmates were not only blacks, but black women. It was this amazing time.
Unheard of.
Yeah. Underground Railroad. So she came here to Hawaii, and she's looking at all these congregational missionaries that preceded her, and she said, no thanks. I got this, and we'll do this how I think would be better. And that's why she shows up in so many private diaries and private correspondence outside of Hawaii. Teachers who went home and said, my gosh, that woman is amazing. I go, someone's got to tell her story.
Well, so, as a friend of Liliuokalani's,
mm-hmm.
She was an eyewitness to the overthrow, a confidant of the queen.
Absolutely.
During the overthrow. And you're able to unearth material that gives a really personal view of what happened in that overthrow.
I have the day-by-day, minute-by-minute blow of an unpublished diary from the school. You're going to walk inside that school 1.5 blocks from the palace, and you're going to experience what she was experiencing and Hawaii's daughters, those girls. I mean, it was a horrifying time. And, you know, my authors of these correspondence were women, so they're dissecting the queen's dress. Is it lilac or is it violet? Did you see what she... I mean, it's just a whole different look at the queen from a feminine viewpoint. And they're very articulate, these women. I have 6 diaries that corroborate each other. So it's sort of this book, while it's a story about Ida Mae Pope, her relationship with the queen, establishing the queen as an educational leader in these islands, because she was a very remarkable and educated woman. But it's a story, it's a group biography as well, from all of them that lived through the most tumultuous, turmoil times and came out, while I don't want to say they were unscathed, but you're going to read in this book every aspect from the time the queen ascended to the throne until her death in 1917. And it's a sweet story. It's sweet. It makes me cry. I still cry. I edit that book, and every time I get to the last 2 chapters, I'm just bawling like a baby. It's a good book.
There's a quotation from a Hawaiian language newspaper at the time of the overthrow that reminds the reader just how divided the community was during the overthrow, that there were people shooting at each other, and they had to find a way to coexist after the overthrow was in place.
That's exactly right. And she went on, Ida Mae Pope, you know, she had to then prepare her girls, some who she had raised since 5 years old. Remember that she took these young girls through the king, through the queens. Now she's taking them through the provisional government with Sanford Dole. And now we're all under an American flag. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to traverse through this. And that's the real story, how she took these. If you look at these first graduates of Kamehameha schools and her girls, she was there 20 years. Oh, my goodness, these young women were firebrands. Her alumni, when the women got the right to vote, Kamehameha alumni competed with each other on different islands to be the first ones. I mean, they were empowered. She empowered a generation. I'm so happy it's going to get resurrected.
When you look for the roots of contemporary feminism, you need to go back quite a ways, don't you?
You do, and Queen Liliuokalani was a major feminist. Major. And her alignment with just the right people that I see going proves that to me. I'm going, oh, she knew who to align herself with. And when the seminary she was funding, I mean, she was funding the seminary, Kauai House Seminary. It was her school. She was in and out of it. She was looking at teachers. They didn't know when she was going to pop in. They were upset. Different letters go, what is she doing here? Why doesn't she run her islands instead of micromanaging my classroom? Here she is again with her retinue coming. But it's quite amazing. But the slander in the newspapers at the time during her overthrow were just horrible. What they said, you know, the school is now going to be, quote unquote, relieved of the corrupting influence of the queen. What? Why would these men say that? So she was faced with a very difficult time. Readers will read in my book, Light in the Queen's Garden, how they traverse this very difficult time.
Sandra Bonura is the author of Light in the Queen's Garden, Ida May Pope, Pioneer for Hawaii's Daughters, 1862 to 1914, just published by the University of Hawaii Press.